I think that's the biggest fear for anyone starting off. It's like the fear of failure. You know what I mean? You're so scared and you don't want to be rejected and you don't want to fail. But for us, whenever we take on anything new, it's like, listen, we've got over it in the past. Sometimes it hurts, but we can definitely do it. And it's about just picking yourself up and just getting after it, you know, and throwing yourself into it.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Fox. It feels damn good to say episode 30. When I started this podcast, it's kind of morphed into a couple of different things. I'm going to do an in-depth episode on that in a few weeks as to how it started and why it started and what it is now and what it will be in the future. But I never really predicted it would get to episode 30 and the form it would take. So thank you so much to anyone who's actually listened or who sent me feedback or who are saying they're enjoying it. Most importantly, people who contact me and say they're actually learning and getting tips in their business from it or encouraging them to start their own business. It's a huge buzz for me when someone sends that message. So thank you to anyone that has. This week, I was really excited to sit down with Michal Dyer from Clean Cut Meals. They're a company I've admired for a very long time. I've followed their journey. I've been fascinated by how they do their business and how they've grown so quickly in what is a relatively short space of time in a very tough market. Michal was one of those people, a lot of these people I have never met before. And we've had like loose conversations on social media or email. And Michal is just one of those people, when you meet him, you feel like you've known him a very long time. He's just so open and honest about his story. He's just incredibly modest about his story, despite their huge success so far. And it was a cracking episode. It was what I hope every episode is, just a very casual chat between two people. I'm genuinely curious about entrepreneurship, about businesses, about business models. And this was one of those chats where I just lost myself in the conversation. It was so good. So I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to say it again. Welcome to episode 30. Here is episode 30 with Michal Dyer from Clean Cut Meals. Enjoy. Michal, welcome to the podcast.
Gary, thanks for having me.
Great. So Michal, that horrible, horrible question. Who are you?
I'm a Galway man, Michal Dyer. I'm the co-founder of Clean Cut Meals. We're a meal prep company based in the west of Ireland. We deliver healthy meals, ready-made meals nationwide, direct to consumer. We touch a little bit in retail, but we're more B2C. Mm. So we offer a range of different plans, whether it's weight loss, muscle gain, or just to eat healthier. We can do that. We have vegetarian and vegan plans as well. So it's a wide selection. And it's just convenience, really, time that we're giving back to people and just trying to educate the Irish nation on how to eat healthy and just give them that opportunity to become healthier. So that's what we do. Personally, I've been a chef since about 16 years old. Okay. I've worked all over, worked in Galway, worked in London, worked in San Francisco. And I studied in Galway, GMIT, done culinary arts. Entrepreneurial then, I suppose, from a young age as well, Pokemon cards, Premier League stickers, buying and selling on my lunch break. Always had a keen interest to try and make some extra money, you know. So, and then I suppose when I went to college, I'd done culinary arts. I was always focused on my like chefing career, but I wanted more than just to cook and to work for somebody. I always knew there was something else. I actually went back and I'd done an add-on year. It was a business, I suppose. It was a business add-on year and it had entrepreneurship in it. And then from that, I graduated with an honors and I went on to do a graduate's entrepreneurship program with a product that we had bootstrapped, but it was Clean Cut Meals 5 years ago and now it's what it is today.
It's probably the most polished intro I think anyone ever give to themselves on a podcast. Okay, I think we've no more questions. We can just wrap it up.
Right. Nice to meet you. Lovely.
Last class. So like, I mean, I think a lot of people listening would have heard of you guys. Even last week, you guys sent me up some meals and I posted on Instagram and like a load of people were like, oh yeah, I've heard of those guys. Let us know what it's like. So like, you were probably very early to the space.
We were very early. We weren't the first. We were definitely the first in the West. I think there was one company in Dublin, possibly one in Cork. So we were the first three in the space, which was, we were extremely lucky. You know, people obviously say, oh yeah, you work really hard. Of course you work really hard, but there is luck to it too. So when we landed and when we started Clean Cut Meals, the perception wasn't that, you know, wasn't taken to quite well. Deliveroo wasn't even around then. So people weren't even getting hot meals delivered to their house.
Forget that.
Never mind cold meals.
Yeah. Things have changed in the last couple of years.
So when they seen, they're like, deliver cold meals to my house? Like, come on.
Yeah.
But we just, obviously we've done our market research behind it and we were confident that it would work. So we just gave it a lash.
So step back, where did the idea come from? Because as you say, like 5-6 years ago, cold meals heated up were like alien.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah. how where did you come up with that idea?
The idea spurred from an idea in the States, effectively. Now, obviously there was a definite gap in the market for it, so that helped with the decision. But we seen it, myself and Connor. Connor's my business partner. He can't be here today. Obviously, somebody has to work and then I get to have all the fun. So, but
you're the face of the business.
Yeah, the good looking one. So I spent a year in San Francisco and he actually spent 3 months in San Francisco as well.
Right.
So we crossed paths during college. We're good friends and always have the laugh together, you know. And when I was leaving San Francisco, he was just about to come over. So I'd seen it there. Perception there was massive. Everyone was busy. Everyone had money. It was like, I seen it in the gym one day. I was like, what is that? You know, and some guy was like, oh, it's my prep meals. I was like, okay, cool. What's the story with that? And he started explaining to me. I was like, wow, look at the website. And I was like, Jesus, this is pretty crazy. You know, it's so convenient. It's expensive. I was like, I just, you know, and I kind of parked it at that. Connor then went over. He's seen the same thing. I was going back to college when I left and so was he. Okay. So when I came back, I went back to college and I suppose the idea, it was just like a conversation we actually had on a night out. You know,
not joking. You'd be shocked how many people have said that on this podcast.
I'm not joking, yeah. And Connor was like, listen, you're not happy in your current job. You know, let's give this a lash. Would you go for it? And like, it's not that I wasn't happy in my current job. It's just I always wanted more.
Mm.
And I knew I had to take a chance. But like for us to take the chance then, the risk was minimal. You know, we didn't have mortgages, kids, anything, no dependents. So I was like, yeah, why not? Let's give it a lash. I was working full time. I was in college full time and then I was working in the evenings, 3 evenings, and then I had this going.
Okay.
So, it came from the States. Me too idea. We seen it. We replicated it. We said, what can we do in Ireland to make it better if possible? Mm. And what can we do to make it perceived so the Irish people will accept it? You know what I mean? So we started quite small and we've grown to what we are today.
How did you start? What was the first? So after that conversation, what did you do next?
So I suppose a business plan is what everyone tells you to do. We have never been big business plan. I've never been a business plan person. I can't stand them, to be honest, because they only tell the story now. So you write it and it's expired in 6 days. You know, things change so fast now. So we done our business plan and we done market research. Like obviously we went around to gyms and friends and family and we proposed the idea to people and they came back and it was positive. It's like, geez, yeah, I'd do it. And we got enough confidence from that to actually me going back to a graduate entrepreneurship program. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to bring this idea to this 6 month program. It's a lean startup program. And I was like, let's see what we can get from that.
Brilliant. So you went into that program with the idea?
With the idea. Okay. Yeah, with nothing but an idea. Connor was still in college. I was doing this 6 month. It was running from September to January. No, earlier than that. It was about 6 months anyways. Okay. And it was finishing up in January 2015. And that accelerated us from business or from idea point to actually like a tangible product. So that was really good for us. The help we got from that was unbelievable. That was through GMIT where we both studied. So we started in January 2015 from having that 6 months prior. And then it was just a roller coaster, I guess.
And did you, obviously having the chef background must have been huge.
Yeah, so it was for sure. Like for sure. It's a food business. Mm. It still is a food business. I think one of our USPs is the menu. We change it every week. We spend a lot of time creating different dishes and menus. We do tastings every week with the team. So we sit down and we literally pick through the food. So I think the creation of the menus and the food quality is one of our selling points and that will stick to us. So it definitely was a food business. That's where I tucked in at the start. I had good experience as a chef, fancy myself as a decent cook.
So
that helped. And then Connor was doing everything else in the background, you know, marketing, selling, delivering. Like it was me in the kitchen, just the two of us.
We
rented this. First of all, it was out of the back of my house, actually. We're making meals from my kitchen, giving it to a couple of our mates, bringing it into college. People are like, what the hell is that? You know, can I get on that? Nice. It's like, yeah, sure, give me 50 quid and I'm just gonna cook, batch cook at my house.
Class.
Make a few quid, why not? because I was making the food anyways, you know, and for someone that's like freshly trained, it doesn't take that long. You know what I mean? It's daunting to people that can't cook, don't know what to cook. Yeah. They make an absolute mess. They're like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
So it started from the back of the house, but then let's fast forward 6 months from the graduates entrepreneurship program. We actually secured a kitchen and rent and we got the keys and I was like, oh shit. Like I remember walking up to the back door of Connor and he was like, man, what the fuck? Like, what did we get ourselves into? Like, this place is huge. And I was like, shit, it's fine. Don't worry. We'll be okay. Like, we only need this many customers.
Yeah.
You know, just to pay the rent. We're not even going to take wage.
How did you get the kitchen, actually? How did you come across it?
It was through the program and through network and through the program. It was actually with the, what was it now? I can't remember. It was Liam Blewett from Galway anyways. So I have to say thanks to him.
Yeah.
But it was it was a brother's charity kitchen, so it was a charity kitchen. So rent was really cheap; it hadn't been occupied in like a year. Oh, wow. It had everything we needed. It was fully fitted, you know.
So fully kitted out.
So we were so lucky. Like we were paying minimal rent per hour, and we weren't in there long. So it was like we were so lucky. Overheads were absolutely minimal. So we were just super lucky.
I popped it up on Instagram that you were coming on, and Claire, one of the girls who listens regularly, DM me, she goes, how did you get the money to start? She's starting her business now and she's like, I was lucky enough to get it. She won money or she had a little investment from some kind of startup prize. She was like, how did they get the money to start?
Excellent. Yeah, it's funny. We were very lucky again. Like time of start, perception was low, new product. People are like interested. So we launched a Facebook page 2 weeks, probably 2 weeks before we actually decided to send our first shipment. We gained about 3,500 followers in a week. Like it just took off. People were like, I love it. I love it.
Wow.
400 odd messages. When can I get on board?
Wow.
I was like, shit.
I'm
in the kitchen by myself. I think people were just super interested. We obviously had a few pictures that we thought were class then. Look at them now. I'm like, wow, that's so shit. Like, how do people even want that? It looks like dog food. But like,
that's what they always say. If you're proud of your first product, you've waited too long to launch.
It's unbelievable. So like, everyone was just like, yeah, let me get on it. 400 odd messages in the first week. And I was breaking it. I'm the chef. I'm like,
it's all on you. Yeah.
Connor was like, how many do you think you cook for? I was like, man, definitely 90 or 100. Like, you know, I'm good. Like, I can do this. Yeah. No problem. It whittled down to only about 27. I will answer the funding in a second.
Okay.
I struggled with 27, long story short. Right. So like, thank God.
Yeah.
From 400 odd messages down to 27. We got them out late, but we got them out. But for funding, we were super lucky because we had that excitement. We actually started a pre-order scheme. So we done pre-order for 2 weeks and we actually use the customer's money to fund us.
Love it.
We didn't have any money. Love I had a small bit of money I'd saved. Connor had a small bit of money. We spent that on a website, minimalistic, because we knew we had to be online. Everything's going to be e-commerce. You know, we're like, we're not taking cash on collect. It'll just be a mess. Everything has to be pre-ordered and online.
Yeah.
So we were making customers order 2 weeks before we sent anything out. And then we kept that throughout the last 5 years. People order on a Wednesday. They don't get anything until Monday. So cash flow is always quite decent. We always have something there if we need to spend on something. So it basically started from the customer's money. Thank you to all of our customers who helped us start this.
They're all investors.
Yeah, and like, brilliant. we were like, let's just snowball it. We never took any loans, you know. We were debt free. We had so many opportunities of investors coming in, like, I'll give you some money, you know, here, just give me some equity. We're like, no, we're good. Like, we can grow this.
Yeah, exactly.
We can grow this. And like, we've stayed investor free. It's just myself and Connor till now. And it's excellent. it's crazy. Year on year, we've made profit from the first year to now. So it's just been insane. Like,
that's phenomenal. Yeah. I think it's so nice. And I love hearing stories like that, whereby you just did it yourselves and focused on sales. So many people get obsessed with, oh, I need to get investment. 100%. When we get investment, we'll get a big new kitchen. When we do this, we'll 100%. Do this. And it's mental.
100%. Like at the start, we were very new to business as well. So we were attending all these networking and marketing events and whatnot, and with our little business cards in our pockets, and we're who we are. We're Clean Camille's. We're the owners, you know, and it was like, we were just going in there just to fit in, I guess.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was coming away and I was like, shit, do you know what? Let's just get back to the kitchen. Let's just sell and just focus on driving this business. Like, let's stop wasting our time with other things. Let's just go and just push it ourselves. So that's what we've kind of stuck to as well.
But that's what true entrepreneurs do, because it's your money. It's your time.
Mm.
You know, the time you're spending. We actually talked about this when we're having a coffee. The time you're spending at those networking events, that's 2-3 hours. That's 2-3 hours. You're not making any revenue. You're not getting new customers.
For sure.
You're not in that case, you're not in the kitchen cooking.
For sure.
So like all that time, it's just dead time.
For sure. At the start, definitely. Mm. Definitely. Because it's so precious. You know, you need to be completely focused on what you're doing and spend all, keep all of your attention on one thing. Like, so,
so your advice at the start is keep it lean, bootstrap yourself. Keep it lean, bootstrap sales.
If possible. We were very lucky, as I said, if we started the business now, like she's starting the business now, it's a competitive, it's competitive. People could come to us and say, these guys are starting now, 2 week pre-order. They'd look online, they'd see another company with 100 five-star reviews. Yeah. They'd say, why would I spend money on this company that's new, no reviews, when I can go to somebody who's reliable? So that's how lucky we were at the time. Now we are the company with the 100, we've over 200 five-star reviews. We've like, it's, people believe in the brand, they trust the brand, they know who we are. So it'd be hard for somebody to try and do what we've done now.
Timing.
Not saying that
so
she couldn't do that if she has a product or whatever service that she has that there's interest in it. By all means, you could do a pre-order scheme. You know, you could give, incentivize your first 200 customers, give them a discount if they pre-order. You know what I mean? Just get some cash in the bank.
That's genius. I love that. So take me back to then the 27 meals heading off.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. So we went into this big industrial kitchen. It was big. Like, it was bigger than any kitchen. Not any. The one in London I worked in was just as big, but it was huge for what we were doing. But I hadn't thought about the small things, you know what I mean? I was like, I can cook this. I made the menu. I was like, this is easy to do. This is easy to do. So we had these big ass pots, like huge pots, like 50 liter, 60 liter pots. And I'm cooking like risotto for like seven people. It's burning at the bottom. I'm burning my arms. I have a wooden spoon. I'm like, shit, I've got no KP. I've massive trays, huge oven. So it was like, everything was flustered. I was like, I'll be fine. I got in at 5 a.m. I went in at 5 a.m. I remember going in, it was pitch black. I was like, I'm going to nail this day. I didn't get out till 9 p.m. that night.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was just crazy. But yeah, that was one thing. I was like, we told customers to come. I think it was 3 p.m. We'll be ready by 3. I was like, Connor, don't worry. Everything will be done by 3. Package ready to go. Tell them to come at 3.
They were coming to collect it?
Coming to collect at 3.
Oh, that's pressure.
So I was like, shit, we need to get out. I don't think we got it out till about 4:30. So we were late. People were there. We're like, so sorry. Like, can you grab a coffee and come back? We're not ready. And they're like, some people are like, for sure, we know who you guys are. You're giving it a lash. I love it. Others are like, you know, it's not great. I remember I was stressing. So I was like, Connor, get in here. Do you know, give me a hand. Cut up these avocados for the salad. You know, he's like, what'll I do with these avocados? Like, I don't know what to do with the avocados. I was like, man, half them, just half them. As simple as that. I'll do the rest, just half them.
Yeah.
I turn around. I was doing something else. I turn back around. He's half the avocados, but he's half them the wrong way. You know, you half an avocado to give two even halves.
Yeah, yeah.
He's basically topped it like hard-boiled egg. And I just looked at him like, man, just get out.
I'm kind of wondering how he actually topped an avocado the wrong way.
Just get out. Just leave. It's to me. Just please leave now. That was the last time he ever tried to cook or cut anything in the kitchen. But it was hilarious. Like, pots and pans basically on our heads, washing stuff, running back and forth.
How many meals did you have to get out that day then?
So there was 27. Everyone got about, it was split into 3 deliveries. So it was only about, probably about 60 meals that day.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was nothing big. So like, thank God we didn't get 90 or 100, because we would have seriously, like, it wouldn't have helped us. Like, we would spread ourselves too thin.
Yeah.
People lose complete faith in the brand. They wouldn't order it again. But the customers that ordered from us the first week, we actually had, like, they were ordering for the following couple of weeks. It was good.
Okay.
We got them to collect the first week, but then we got their address and we started to deliver it to them. So Connor would actually build up a relationship, personal relationship with these customers, because he was the delivery guy, the owner of the company.
So you were Galway only at the start?
Galway only, for the first 2 years. Okay. We were doing the city, we were doing some of the outskirts, like, we weren't going too far. It's very hard to manage. We're not a distribution company as well, so the routes were very, like, back and forth.
Yeah.
It took a while to get used to that, but it was very helpful to have him face the business too, you know, to go direct to the customer, hand them the bag. Thank you so much for your customs. You know, how did you find this week's meals? What didn't you like? You know, and get that feedback to me. And then I'm like, taking it on the chin, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, they don't know what they're talking about. This food is class. Yeah, you know?
Very hard to do, but like, the value of getting direct feedback in the early stages is colossal.
Oh, it was crucial. It was crucial to our growth, and it was crucial to our sustaining, I suppose, customers, and like retaining them, keeping them, you know, and listening to what they say and actually instilling it in the business and in the recipes and whatnot. And then they see that you're actually trying to change for the better for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's about the customer. So it was crucial for our first 2 years. We were just Galway based and we were just nailing our Galway market and just trying to listen as much as possible. And then we expanded then to national.
But But how often do you get face-to-face time with the founder of the company?
Yeah,
who's actually coming out in his car and handing you the meals. I said that was just huge for them as well.
It was massive. They really appreciated it. And as I said, when they seen changes happening, they were like, okay, they're listening. The guys listen. Mm. So word of mouth obviously like really helped then. And Galway's kind of like a clicky enough place, I think. So when people talk positively or negatively, it does spread around. You know,
the amplification effect,
for sure. So we needed to make sure that we had some good reviews, and we needed to show people that we did care.
Mm.
Obviously, there was weeks there that we had like literally close to nothing customer-wise.
Right.
And we were hanging our heads like, oh God, I was thinking of going back to work. I was like, do you know what? I can just get a job. I'm a chef, and there's a cry out everywhere for chefs. Mm. And it's like, I just don't know, is it in it? You know, we hang the heads and then just realize like why did we do this, you know, back to the why, like why are we doing this, and then really thinking, okay, like we've got to go at this properly, you know. So
how did you scale up, say, from that first week then up for your first kind of, just bring me through your first kind of 6 to 12 months, how did you get over that patch? Because that's always the patch that catches people.
Yeah,
either takes off and you can't handle the growth, or it doesn't take off and like you say, people throw in the towel quickly.
So like it started well, like 27 was decent. It was much more than we needed to break even. You know, we weren't paying ourselves a wage. Mm. All we had overheads wise was rent. Mm. Very, very cheap. So we were banking some money that we needed. We knew we'd need if we wanted to expand or for anything. You can't even purchase like our consumables. We were purchasing at the top price because we couldn't buy in bulk. We couldn't get the price down.
Okay.
Everything was costing us an arm and a leg.
Right.
Nobody wanted to deal with us. Cash on delivery only. Who the hell are these guys? You know, they're going to take our produce and they'll be shut down in a week. So it was quite tough at the start. But customer-wise, it was decent. Over the first 3 months, we had a decent amount of customers. And I think, to be honest, to be brutally honest, me and Connor were like, we've made it, you know. We're buzzing.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be going out. We're like, yeah, this is great. Taking our eye off the company. 3 months in, like really premature.
Mm-hmm.
Straight out of college. This is class. I've got a business card. I'm the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that affected the business. We started to see the customers going down and down and down. Maybe we weren't taking feedback on. The recipes probably weren't as good, you know what I mean? We're focused on what we were doing, and that hurt us. And that was the time then, about 6 months in, we were like, shit, you know, is this really going to work? Maybe I should go back to work. Then we just sat down, we were like, listen, why did we do this? We really just had to think in ourselves and put that passion and the drive back in. It was because we wanted better for ourselves. We wanted freedom, you know, we wanted to work for ourselves. We knew it was there. We knew the market was there. And once we done that, gave ourselves a kick up the hole, like, you know, we started to take off. I think we got up to about, I'd say about 50 or 60 regular customers in the first year, which was really
good. That's a lot of customers.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good for just the two of us. We employed one person late the first year, two people towards the start of the second year then. Somebody to help with the cooking, somebody to help with the cleaning.
Right.
Connor was still delivering by himself.
Right.
And like that's 2016, three employees, maybe four. And now 2019, 17, 18 employees.
Big
so
growth.
It's scaled massively over the last 5 years for sure.
So at the end of the year one, so things were ticking upwards.
Oh yeah, 60 customers odd.
And where was that? How did you? I think the hardest part for a lot of people when they start off is like,
where am I getting customers?
Exactly.
Yeah. We were massive into Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. We were very lucky. We were relatively young, not young. I'm definitely not young, but we understood Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all the social networks. We understood them. We spent the majority of our day on them, like everybody else. So we kind of had an insight to what people were looking for, what kind of posts we could use. We followed some people that we knew we could like get leverage from.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked into Facebook ads and, you know, marketing through social media.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing different types of targeting that people weren't doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped us, like just for the Galway area. So word of mouth is a big one, definitely. We were pushing people to talk about it with their friends, you know, mm-hmm. We'd offer upgrades on their plans if they would, you know, give us a review, or obviously if they gave us a referral to some of their friends,
mm-hmm.
Which helped us as well. But that was really it. We spent a lot of time online, and to this day our budget is online.
Okay.
It's like 95% is online.
You've taken us on beautifully to something we were talking about earlier in terms of like Instagram, Facebook timing.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, what was working and how did you have that massive growth?
Facebook was working. Facebook was huge. Instagram wasn't. Facebook was massive. Like we had such a return on Facebook. It was unbelievable. I was shocked how it worked so well. And then they started to change algorithms and they started to get smart in different parts and make it harder for people to reach so many people. But still to this day, Facebook is quite good. Instagram,
really?
Right now, Instagram is superior. But we spend a lot of money on digital on Google AdWords as well. So that's a big one for us too. But it still is Facebook, Instagram.
Is it really still Facebook?
No, Instagram over Facebook right now. Yeah, Instagram over Facebook. But then Google Ads would be actually far superior than the both at the moment.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I was chatting to actually Dan Nugent was on here from Amber Hour a few weeks ago and he was talking about Google Ads. Yeah. It's been so hyper specific. He's like, you're scrolling through your feed. You're not in that buying mindset of like, I need glasses or I need meals. He was like, you know, Google Ads, you're in the exact buying mind frame. If you search for him, it was, you know, blue light glasses.
Yeah.
You see, if you're looking to buy blue light glasses. Exactly. If you search meal prep or whatever it is,
exactly,
eating healthy, you're looking for us.
Exactly. So you need to be up there. You know, your SEO needs to be quite good. We were very lucky. Since we started so early, our SEO was always very good because it was organic and all of our posts were organic as well. We didn't really spend that much for the first 2 years on marketing. We were under the perception like, it's going well. We are doing a great job not spending money. We're saving money. But now when I realize if we spent money then, how far ahead we could be now. So instead of saying I saved money, I think the potential of actually scaling faster, we lost. So that's where we flipped it. And now we're all about obviously spending more to get more, you know.
But it's hard to know, isn't it? How, you don't know what you don't know. So you don't know, oh, if I spend an extra $2,000, I'm going to make 10. How did you learn that? How did you get to a stage where you're like, okay, we need to start spending money on this?
I think it was through years of not spending. And then when we started to test and seeing the influx on when we did spend, the ROI was like, okay, that's worked. Like, why haven't we been doing this? You know, as I said, we just came straight out of college. We didn't know, you know, we really didn't know. We learned so much on the way. It was testing and failing. And as I was saying, we're saving money here. Oh, let's bank that money and leave it in the bank. We were under the impression that the money in the bank is going to, like, it's safe, you know, but money in the bank isn't making you money. You know, what are you getting? Like 0.2% interest. And like, we were just under the illusion like, oh, it's safe. Now we'll keep that for a rainy day. And you know, the old Irish expression, like, we'll just hold on to it. It'll be grand, you know? But I think it was just through testing and actually putting ourselves out there and actually spending money and seeing the return. It was really, really exciting. You're like, okay, well, if our eyes that on this, like, let's increase the budget and see what happens. And now just everyone's online. Like you walk down the street, people are just looking at their phones, walking everywhere you go, everyone's online. So there's a place to catch anyone. You know what I mean? It's just about who you put it in front of.
So how have things changed now in the last couple of years, just sticking with the online, you know, cause I like to, you know, people kind of listen. They're like, oh, I like the tips he gave or whatever like that. So what advice would you give to people now who are in trying to get into the online space to push their business? Like how have things changed?
For us, it was definitely determining our market and what niches are in our market and who are running these niches. Are there any top influencers or who should you go to or who should you look at in those niches, as well as what companies are doing it, where are they doing it and how well are they doing it, you know, and taking stuff from them too. Like for us, we really focused on who is our customer. We broke up way back. Like that's how we've changed. I think the last 16 months, we've really changed as a business. And that came from who is our customer, really, really, really understanding who exactly he or she is, you know, to the basics of like, where does she work? What age is she? What does she do in the evenings? Does she have a gym membership? These questions we're asking ourselves. And then finding just niche areas in that market. Like we have Clean Cut Meals at the start was super fitness orientated. It was all about the gym, lifting weights. You could have seen our early posts. We've got like intimidating imagery, guys with six packs and, you know, big biceps everywhere. And that's what we thought the market was. But we came to realize that that isn't our full market. That's just a niche part of our market that we have to supply to. So we need to be more just broader than that, you know, so we can focus on different areas. Like we have some elderly people buying meals. We have students buying meals. We have gym enthusiasts. We have professional players. We have moms. We have single households. Like there's so many other people. Obviously when we focused on the gym people at the start, it gave us revenue, but when we wanted to expand and we wanted to scale, we need to think about the bigger picture, not the micro, the macro. Because if you're only focusing on the small area and that's, let's say, a population of 4 million, and then you're only getting like 2% of that, if even, you know, you're kind of limiting yourself to sales. So it was about, I suppose, defining what other markets are in our field and then just going after them, either targeting influencers in that field or the top people, or just doing targeted ads. because you can get really specific when you target people on Facebook. You know what I mean? It's, you can get super specific when you really delve into it. So I think that's probably...
I want to come back and chat about influencers in a minute, but how did you define your market? Like, how did you nail down going, is it data you just have to get over time, or did you have some sort of strategy?
I suppose it was data at the start. We definitely had a strategy in terms of, our strategy really was, let's get it in front of as many people as possible. Let's put it as many places as possible. So people are like, who are these guys? You know, what is this brand? Like Beats by Dre, they just gave them to everybody. Top notch people they did now in France. But we were like, let's just give it to everyone, you know, local influencers or local GA players or anyone that had a small bit of follower, anything at all. That was our strategy at the start. It was like, let's just push this as many places as possible. We had some advice at the start. It's like, you should never be giving free products away. You're only a startup company. Don't be doing it. It's bad for your cash flow. We were like, oh yeah, maybe, but you know what? You're 55 and the world's changing so fast. We're going to give this away for free because we believe that people are going to see it and we'll get it back over the next couple of years. And it worked. Like, so that was our strategy, really. It was just like, blast the market. Let's flood it.
I put that on Instagram or on LinkedIn yesterday. It's so funny you say that. Never work for free. You know, I put that up and I was like, this is completely untrue.
Yeah.
Because literally from the last week's guest as well, that's exactly what they did. And that's exactly what a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. Because Luke Mackey from Boom Boo was talking about it. He's like, we just needed to learn. We needed to understand what the client wanted and what the customer wanted. So we gave it to them for 3 months for free. Mm-hmm. And from that, like yourself earlier with the market research, you're able to get all that data back and then make the product 50 times better.
For sure.
People have that old mindset.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Never work for free.
It's crazy. I think we have such an advantage now, though, as well, with how far technology is coming, how much information we can get just at the click of a button, you know, to help us. And in different people that you might look up to and listen to their content, and they're pushing it like, it's just, we've such an advantage now.
So how did you work with influencers at the start?
I suppose we just approached anyone. Not anyone, but we looked at their, let's say their following, which was... I suppose it's a bit naive just to think this guy's got 15,000 followers. We're going to make loads of money off him. But at the start, we were just like, let's just blast it out. As I was saying, let's just get it in front of as many people as possible. So it was anyone really. We were just scrolling through the internet, looking at influencers that we thought were influencers. And then we were targeting areas where we thought we'd sell more meals. You know, in Galway, we were restricted to the Galway area. So we need to find people that are influential in the Galway area, whether it be through GAA, through soccer, through triathlon, through... rowing even, you know what I mean? There's so many different clubs and so many different niche markets within there. So we were just popping them to people, hey, just seriously cold DMing them, hey, do you want to get some meals off us? And that worked a treat. And then when we went national, as I said, you can get data from online. Obviously, you can go online, you can look at your back end, you can see exactly where people are purchasing from. You can define then where's the high spend area. And then you're like, okay, this area is a high spend. Look at all the customers we have. Now, who is influential in the area around this? And they're like, okay, I'm going to hit this guy too. And it's funny when you do that across the country, you give it to these key influencers, you might say, that you see an uplift in customers. So
that's brilliant. Like, so using the data, cross-reference to double down on what's working.
Yeah, exactly.
And how has your relationship with influencers changed over the last kind of couple of years? Because it seems to be... We've had a few guests on. Some of them have worked with influencers, some of them haven't. But it seems to be the general consensus is there's been a change.
For sure.
Couple of years.
For sure. As I said at the start, anyone and everyone could get on board. There was no like, we need this from you in return for this. Now we're definitely more professional, and we ask for something back for what we give. You know what I mean? So it's just, I suppose, the professionalism has changed. Really, that's the big thing. But as well as that, how we actually vet them. We don't vet them as such, but what we look for in an influencer, is it relative to what our market is? You know, do they push the same kind of ethos as what we push? We want people to push the product that actually believe in it. We don't want to give it to anyone to sell because it's just so transparent and fake. Yeah. When people are just selling, they're like, oh my God, Clean Cut Meals is amazing. You're like,
I'm obsessed with these new meals.
She doesn't even eat them. It's like, I seen you in a burger joint last night. Like, she doesn't even eat them. So we need to be careful now how we do it as well, because I think we're regarded as one of the biggest meal prep companies in Ireland, and we need to be selective enough and who we put our faith into what, like, who we have on the moment is excellent. It's doing quite well. And we like to change it up as much as possible. Like, we've gotten some big names, like James McLean was on the meals.
Oh, wow.
Sheamus, the wrestler from the WWE. Richard Mann, the Mountain from Game of Thrones. Like,
really?
Yeah, good few.
Okay, so they're high profile people. Yeah. Like, how does that come about?
It was, I suppose through networking as such, Instagram networking.
Okay.
It's funny when like, I think it was, through the Kiefer Crosby, through the Bellator fighter. We sponsored him for quite a while, actually. And I think James McLean was liking a couple of his posts.
Gotcha.
So we were like, okay, he's seen the product, he likes the posts, just DM him. How are you, James? Do you want some meals? He's like, yep. Do you know, it's very easy. Yeah. Like, it's not just, how are you, James? You know, obviously we have.
Yeah.
But like, we just get onto people through Instagram, and it's amazing how many, like, you're just expecting a no. But like, if you send out 15, 20 messages and your hit rate's, you know, 5-10% about that, you're happy days. You know?
Isn't it mad though to be able to, like, physically just reach out to anybody in the world?
It's crazy. It's like,
they're all surrounded by, you know, like, agents and minders and the club. But like, Instagram's quite personal.
It's
very few people hand over their Instagram, people manage. It's mad that you just DM someone of that caliber.
It's insane. We're just so lucky this day and age, like, literally just write a message to anyone that you like or you look up to and admire.
Yeah.
You know, ask them a question. They could get back to you, of course, you know. So we just put it out there. We explain what we are, what we believe in, and just say that, listen, we think that you'd fit with the brand, and we'd love to send you some products free. Try them out, see what you think of them. And then we'll have a phone call next week and see if we can work together.
Mm.
Because we do want them to enjoy it. And listen, Clean Cut Meals isn't for everyone.
Mm.
Some people don't like it, and that's fair enough. We can't satisfy everyone's needs, but that's why we give them sample product, let them see it, you know, let them feel it, taste it, and just know exactly what the company is about before we do anything. Because we need to know that they believe in it.
Yeah, it's very personal, isn't it? Like, nutrition is incredibly personal. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's tastes are different. Like,
100%.
That's cool, though. So you just reach out. I love that. We talked earlier about when we were having a coffee, just about you sent a DM to someone and something massive happened out of it. Like, to be able to do that, though, it's just... But I like your attitude of just, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? You know? And like, the amount of text messages and WhatsApps you send to your mates during the day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Let's just get a message to somebody that we admire, see if they want the product. And if they do, happy days, you know?
So starting off in Galway, that must have been, at the time, it was probably, you felt a little bit limited, but it must have been a massive advantage to know, right, this is our geography, these are our customers, this is who we're targeting.
Mm.
Did that help massively in the start?
Yes, it did. It definitely did. It helped onboard new customers massively. We were very lucky. We would be known enough around the Galway area as well, so we had a nice network of friends who would talk about it, who'd share it on their Facebooks and whatnot. So we were just super lucky, you know. And as I said, I think Galway's clicky enough to an extent where people will always, usually they'd always back the local person as well, like, and it's always good to see local people doing stuff. So I think that really did help us.
And then at what point are you like, right, we need to like look a little bit further afield here?
It was in 2000 and I'm going to say 17, when we retained some revenue from 2 years prior. We had enough to invest in new packaging, because the packaging we had, we couldn't ship. It wouldn't ship. It would just break on delivery. And there was no shelf life on it. So we needed a little bit of revenue. We didn't want to take investment and try and scale too fast. We never wanted to spread ourselves too thin. That was our main thing. I was always worried about, from the first week, I was like, shit, 27 people I couldn't even barely do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just go slow and steady. Mm-hmm. So that was our thinking at the start, and that still is. I never want to put the kitchen under too much pressure. I never want to like overpromise and underdeliver, because the brand is everything right now. We need to make sure everyone has confidence in it. We can deliver exactly what we say.
Mm-hmm.
So, I suppose when we had a little bit of revenue retained, we could look at different packaging, we could do some shelf life testing, go to the lab, and then we could reach out to distribution channels. Now, obviously, we had to think about how we were going to do the cold chain, because nobody does cold chain distribution. Well, they do, but they wouldn't do it to 32 counties.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did, they'd charge you an like ridiculous amount of money. So it was a lot of time spent on R&D for ourselves, and then just building up a relationship with potential distributors. We're utilizing DPD at the moment, and it's going quite well. So that was it, really. The decision was, let's scale it. We have a business. People want it. They're messaging the Facebook all the time. Hey, guys, I'm in Kerry. Hey, guys, I'm in Dublin. Hey, guys.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. You're like,
But why, what position to
why,
be in though?
Why aren't we doing this? Like, let's
what position to be in though? People, yeah. Can I get this? You're for like, sure, oh, not yet. So how did you? Like, it sounds like a lot of work. Like, food is such a, you know, not temperamental, but such a, you know, it's difficult. I'd imagine to work with it in terms of shipping it and storing it. So how did you start off with that?
Yeah, I suppose knowledge that I had at the start was, it was beneficial, definitely. But it was definitely different to what I was used to doing. In London, I was working in a fine dining restaurant. It was Michelin star, like, so it was nothing like what we're doing.
20 seconds since that's stable, yeah.
Yeah, it's not what we're doing here now. It's batch cooking, you know, and it's all about, like, cooking and chilling appropriately to make sure you get your shelf life. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that you wouldn't even think of. So I suppose the knowledge I had throughout college helped. We'd done new product development in college, so I would have actually developed a product in college. It was nothing to do with Clean Cut Meals. It was actually a juice drink. It's funny because I was listening to your podcast with the guy from VitHit as well.
Oh, yeah.
I developed a juice drink as well. And I was like, this is going to take off, you know, when I was in college. But we never went with it. But that helped me to understand the microbiological processes and what you need to do. So that really did help. That was very beneficial to us. And then if we needed any other extra help, there's great resources always available. You know what I mean? If you just look out, you know, you just got
to... Yeah, talk to me a little bit about that. Because get like a few messages a week from people going, really interested in my business, can I ask you a few questions? I just don't know where to go.
Let's start. We didn't go anywhere. We did, but we were kind of like, not fobbed off, but we were like disheartened because we didn't have a tangible product. And they were like, you need to have this many staff or you need to have this turnover. I'm not sure if it would work. Food's a tough one. People don't really, they don't believe that you're going to get this off the ground, or they don't believe you're going to get that revenue, because I just don't know, the food perception is different if it's tech or an app. They're all for
it. It's all over that.
It's crazy.
Which is bizarre when you think about it, because you eat probably five times a day.
Exactly. It's mental. But for us, like, we utilize the local enterprise office greatly over the last 2 years. They've been excellent for us and they are really good for startups. So I'd recommend anyone going straight away, even an idea, local enterprise office. They do loads of different stuff for startups. They have mentors on site, you know, you can do so much with them. They're very beneficial. And then obviously EI, if you're much higher, you can go to Enterprise Ireland, but the Leo is where you'd start off. That's where I'd recommend.
Okay.
And even from talking to a couple of people there, like, I was lucky. I had the Lean Startup. He had resources. So I had him as a contact. He was actually one of my mentors, Dunnock Hughes. And we're still doing a bit of work with Dunnock actually.
Okay.
I was talking to him this morning and the resources he gave me then, just to be able to say, we need this done. I don't really know how to do it myself. Do you know anyone that can do it? And it's like, yeah, absolutely. This guy's great. I've used him before. Tell him you're talking to him again. And it's like, okay, we've just got a discount price and we've got a guy that's really good at it.
Yeah.
Like, for us, the amount of money and time we wasted over the last, not the last, I'll say from 2015 to 18 on bootstrapping, like, let's do it ourselves. Let's be cheap. Let's, you know, do we need to spend that much? Let's get a different guy who'll do it cheaper. It didn't help us. But it's a kind of a hard one, because if you don't have the money for it, you're like, shit, I can't afford that.
Yeah.
But I think investing in the higher end of the spectrum, like the more expensive guys that are really good at it, I think benefits so much. Like, right,
there's
now,
the time savings, yeah, and they're like, for massive. Sure. You can
when you go back and forth, right, exactly. Guy. If you're the wrong guy and it's not right, you're going back and forth and you're doing so much work. I feel the whole reason to outsource is to get it done by somebody else so you can focus your energy on something else. You know what I mean? So that's one thing I've learned massively. It's just like, let's use the resource we have. And if we need to outsource somebody who is better than I am in this field, let's get them to do it. You know what I mean?
I like that message as well, of like, just ask, because there's an embarrassment at the start, I think, as well. You feel uncomfortable. You feel nervous about asking in case the answer is no.
For sure.
So how did you, I think, Deanna, you've already kind of given the answer in terms of the course and then the Leo. So is it just a matter of just slowly building out your network?
I think so, yeah. People? I think so, yeah. We were lucky with exactly who I was with at the start, and because Connor and myself would have a good few connections in Galway anyways, you know what I mean? His dad's a businessman in Galway, knows lots of people. He was one of our mentors too, which was so beneficial at the start. But I think it is about just putting yourself out there and getting used to know, you know, ticking in your skin and not being like so afraid and shy and soft. I mean, like, oh God, I've been rejected. My business is going nowhere. You just got to get back up and go after it. As I said, you send out 20 messages, you get one back. It's perfect. You know?
Forget about the other 19.
Exactly.
And I think it comes from being bootstrapped as well. My story is nearly the exact same as yourself. Started bootstrapped and everything I made was from sales. Mm. And you have to hear no.
Yeah.
Because of course. If you're not hearing anything, you're goose. Because
exactly.
There's no money coming in on Friday. There's going to be no clients. So like you have to hear no over and over, because I think people get kind of lulled into false insecurity with investment. They're like, oh, we've 200 grand in the bank.
For
you
sure.
Don't have to, like, that fire is not under them.
For sure. For sure. And that's why we were like, will we take investment? What are we going to get for investment? Is it just cash? Mm. What are the value we're going to get for this? Like, that's crucial for us. If we were to onboard somebody, we want somebody to bring more than cash. Like, we can go to the bank for cash.
Mm. It's incredible self-awareness as well, to know it's not just money.
It's not just money.
It's what else? Because they're an integral part of your business.
Like, great, give us 100 grand. What will I do with it? You know, will I pocket 50 grand? Great. What's 50 grand going to do for me? Come on, like...
But it's great to have that vision. You guys clearly have a big vision. Mm. Just explain a wee bit to me. I'm a bit of a logistics nerd. Explain a wee bit to me in terms of the logistics of how you actually, okay, we need to be able to chill it. We need to be able to distribute it. How did you do that? Like, because your distribution is on point. Like, literally, you guys sent me up some meals last week and this week. And like, your man rang me exact same time every week. Hey, Gary, I'm outside. Cool. I'll pop down to you. Great. Here you go. Get those in the fridge. Perfect.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
So at the start, when we were in Galway, we were... Obviously, the packaging we had didn't have the shelf life required. So we were actually cooking twice, three times a week.
Wow.
So we were doing two or three deliveries a week, which was not very cost effective because we were doing it ourselves as well. We've moved from that 2015 to now one delivery a week, which we actually found through market research people prefer. Mm. They don't want to be bothered three times a week. Mm. You know what I mean? They don't want delivery drivers calling them, or, you know, it was once... So we've got it to a Monday. Logistically wise, we cook, chill, prepare. We prepare everything from scratch in our kitchen, our facility in Clarenbridge. It's all cooked and chilled and packaged in Clarenbridge. And then it's distributed on a Sunday night. We DPD collect it, bring it to Athlone to be distributed Monday morning throughout the country. We've just upgraded and bought, reinvested in the business and bought a machine that'll extend shelf life. So we've gotten shelf life extended on the packaging. You'll see that packaging that you have now.
Yeah.
If you've seen what we had at the start, and then if we've changed about four times till now, we're very confident in this packaging. It helps with obviously the shelf life, it helps the durability. It's not damaged as much on arrival. Sometimes the handling of the boxes is not as good as we would hope, but that's what you have to deal with when you're using a third party distribution company. Obviously, it's about building up a relationship. We have a good enough rapport with them. We meet with our account manager once a month to work out these problems. So we always are trying to be as proactive as possible and rectifying problems when they arise. Like, the biggest problem we had last year was damages on delivery, and that was hurting us so much because customers, whether it be first time customers or regular customers, they're buying a box that's getting delivered to them, it's coming, there's two or three containers that are smashed, the box is a mess, you know, they're cleaning their product, they're like, the service, you know, is it that good, you know?
Right.
You know, it's like going to the shop buying pair runners, coming home and there's no laces and you're like, no, I just paid for
a little,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was a big thing for us. So that made us, we were like, we need to reinvest. We need to find packaging that will not break. We've done so much research on that. We went to the States to see it. We went to Australia to see this machine running. You know what I mean? And we invested big money into this machine. So we feel that this is really going to help get customers back that have left us, and to keep customers happy and going forward. So that's a big thing for us. We can cook, chill and package a few days prior to delivery now with the new packaging.
Okay.
Because we are scaling, we have so many meals to get out every week, we had to find a solution. Back in the day, cook in the morning, chill in the afternoon, chip it out in the evening. You know what I mean? Even till last year, say, we would start our cooking on like Friday night, Saturday morning to be packaged Saturday evening, Sunday to be delivered Sunday night.
It's a lot of pressure.
Loads. And it's just like the kitchen are really feeling it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's like, it's just like a lull, and then it's just a spike, and then it's just crazy down there for 3 days and everyone's just stressed off their heads. But it's exciting. It was exciting. We knew we had to change. We're always changing. You know, we want our team to be looked after as best possible. We want our customers to get the best product possible as well. So it's always about the customer. Like when the guys in the kitchen, they might say, geez, I'm working late in the weekend again. It's about the why, you know, this is for the customer. We need to, if we can't chill it at this day, it has to be as fresh as possible going, you know what I mean? So it was all about the customer. But logistically wise, we're lucky now. We have that machine. We've been running it for about 6 weeks now, and that should help us.
Okay, wow. Yeah. So that's only brand new. Okay,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how did you learn? Like, how did you, you know, it seems like quite a complex business. Like, there's a lot going on. So how did you guys learn to improve the processes? Like, how did you get better at that?
Honestly, just failing, just doing it and getting it wrong. Like, we didn't know. not we didn't know anything. Of course, we knew something. You know, we both went to college, we both graduated, we both had business, and I had culinary as well. Connor's actually worked in hotel and catering as well, so we understood all of the aspects of it too. But it was through just failing. Like, we didn't have massive risks. Like, we weren't gambling on a 50K contract or anything like that. So when we failed, it wasn't like falling off a cliff. It was falling off a curb. You know what I mean? Like, okay, let's not do that again. Let's chalk it up and let's not do that again. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was really from just going, doing it and failing. And I think that's the biggest, I suppose, fear for anyone starting off. It's like the fear of failure. You know what I mean? You're so scared and you don't want to be rejected and you don't want to fail. But for us, whenever we take on anything new, it's like, listen, we've got over it in the past. Sometimes it hurts, but we can definitely do it. And it's about just picking yourself up and just getting after it, you know, and throwing yourself into it. Like, we're excited now. We're going to change the logistics of the business come January. We're going to offer so much more. We're going to offer more choice to the customer. We're going to offer multiple delivery days. We want to be the only company to do next day delivery in meal prep as well in Ireland, which is super exciting. Right now, when you order, you only get delivered on a Monday. It doesn't suit everybody. So in the new year, in 2020, we're hoping to get order Tuesday, receive Wednesday. So it's going to be super fast. Like, look, that's at Amazon, look at Prime. Yeah, it's crazy. We just want to keep enhancing the product and the service for the customer. And it is about convenience and time. Mm-hmm. You know, if people miss our cutoff point for orders on a Monday, they're immediately online looking for competitors that will deliver faster.
Gotcha.
So we need to stay ahead of the curve there too, which is, it's exciting. Change is exciting. There's no growth in the comfort zone and we're always trying to change. You know what I mean? So it's exciting. It keeps everyone on their toes. It keeps us excited in the business. Like, I was cooking for years and I'm not cooking anymore. I found myself indulged in the cooking and not actually. So I was working for the business. You know what I mean? The business wasn't working for me. Not saying like I wasn't doing anything else but cooking, but now I can focus on my energy on so much more and to help the business grow and scale and opportunities that have arisen now that wouldn't have if I was stuck in the kitchen, you know. So it's
almost a cliche at this stage. You see people say, oh, I need to be working on your business, not in your business. But that's so easy for people to say on the outside, especially in your startup. I've done it, you've done it, you're just running around. I even said it to you this morning, just been busy, just doing so many things, you're not pushing the needle. How did you know right now's the time?
I didn't know. Connor said it to me. He's like, you need to get out of the kitchen.
That's interesting.
He's like, get out. And I was like, no, I'm the best in the kitchen.
I am the kitchen.
Food, the food's going to be shit without me, like, you know? But the more I thought about it, I was like, you're right. Like, you are completely right. And I can trust my team because we have an excellent team, an unbelievable team. We're blessed with the staff we have. Like, seriously, we're so, so lucky.
Interesting that it took someone else
to tell you that because I was stuck in the fog and I loved it. And now when I'm in the kitchen, I get super passionate and I just have the blinkers on, you know what I mean? That's my world when I'm in there
and it's comfortable. This is grand. I'm inside of my comfort zone, whereas when you're outside it's probably like, oh yeah, all these new things
get on the phone, I'm like, oh shit, okay. Hey, how are you? But it's good. Like, as I said, you want to grow, you need to be uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to grow, you need to get out of that comfort zone. So,
but like, clearly you guys are 2017, three, was it? Four?
Four, start. Probably four.
And now
four,
17.
Yeah.
That's 17, 18. Phenomenal growth. Mm. Like, talk to me a little bit on that. How did you go from there to there? Like, what was it? Like, I'm asking you a very broad question there, so I'm going to go wherever you want with it. But like, how did you go right? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Because I think that's the toughest part of any business.
It was definitely slow and steady. Like I said, incrementally growing the business and not trying to overpromise. So like when we were, let's say, running some kind of incentivized program, let's say January special or something, when everyone's getting back to the gym eating healthy, we would expect an increase in customers. Therefore, we were like, who do we need? At the start, it was all, every hands on deck is literally, we're getting chefs and KPs, people to cook, package and clean, nothing admin wise. And Connor was left with all that, you know? So that was quite a headache for him. He was doing deliveries and admin work, like responding to people on Facebook, a lot of marketing and stuff too.
A huge amount involved.
A lot of stuff involved in that. So for the first 2-3 years, it was all about that. Slow and steady. We were just like, when we increase orders, we would retain, we have a good retention rate week on week. It's just about acquiring new customers. And I think we were slow and steady acquiring customers because it was left to Connor really and myself. And it's just organic growth. We weren't spending a huge lot of money to to get new customers. Mm. So that helped us to an extent. Now, as I said in the past, that hindered us to grow fast, but would we be able to keep up the growth if we exploded? I'm not too sure.
Okay.
We're happy how we've done it so far. This year alone, we've actually hired about 8 people. So we've grown crazy since December.
Hiring is tough.
Very tough. Yeah.
What's your kind of process in that? Because that's definitely something when I was starting off, I found that incredibly tough.
For us, we utilize the Indeed, you know, jobs.ae and stuff like that. We don't go to recruitment companies. We haven't yet. We find it's good for what we're looking for. For us, to get people in the kitchen isn't too hard because we have very appealing hours. We work very early mornings, 6 a.m., 6:30, 7 a.m. starts. Mm. So you're finished in the late afternoon.
Okay.
Go home, see your kids, get your 2 days off.
So not typical probably chef hours.
It is not chef hours. It's not 8 a.m. till 12 at night. Mm. You know what I mean? 6 days a week. It's not that. So it's appealing.
That's interesting.
It's appealing. I think the like ourselves, we're a young enough business. Mm. We are innovative. We like to listen to our staff. We have team meetings once a week. We like to take on board everything. We like change, you know, we love ideas. I think that's appealing for staff to come to us. We haven't found it too hard, to be fair. When we moved to our current location where we are, Clarenbridge, we found it a little bit tougher just for logistics for people to actually get to work because it's not in the city.
Okay.
And the bus routes are not great. So that kind of hurt us, but we've still been blessed with who we have, who we've held on to. Like, we've got an excellent team. And now it's split between office and kitchen. Mm-hmm. Where at the start, it's just kitchen.
Okay.
Now we're like, okay, we need customer relations. Like, we need to look after our customers. So now
it's great to chat to you. Actually, my first guest, this episode 30, and my first guest who's primarily based outside of Dublin.
Mm.
So it's there's so many great entrepreneurs scattered around the country. So that's what I want to focus on, is kind of chatting to more people from all around. How do you find growing business in Galway as opposed to, say, in another major city? Do you think that's an advantage?
It's funny that you ask me that. Our main market is Dublin.
Yeah.
From Galway. 65% of customers is Dublin. So we're growing our business from Galway in Dublin online, which is like blah, blah, blah. We're going back and forth. But growing the business, it's been this year has just been crazy. I think we've changed so much as a company and we've been so lucky. We've spent more on marketing. We've been smarter with where we spend it as well. We're utilizing a company to help us with that too, that are based in Dublin, who are really good, which has helped us massively. So the growth of the business this year has been crazy. We've probably grown, I'm going to say we've grown nearly 200% since December.
200%?
Yeah.
In what,
10 months.
10 months. 10 months.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal growth. Yeah,
it's crazy. We moved to a new facility at the end of last year and we knew, okay, now we have the space, now we have the staff, let's scale this, let's go fast.
Okay.
We can get the staff, we know what we're doing, so we're like, let's scale it. So we really put wheels in motion at the start of this year. We committed to different strategies, different campaigns, and we just said, let's get busy. And that's what we've been focusing on, is just scale. So we have a target that we want by the end of this year, which is looking really good. We've obviously got goals set that are looking good too. Everything's on track for this year, so we're very happy with 2019. Like, the growth of the business for the first 4 years was pretty slow and steady, as I was saying, and then I think in December 2018 we had about 250 customers, I think, which sounds like, you're like, 250, that's nothing, you know, but it's still quite a lot of meals to go out all over the country. And now we're on up to nearly 800 customers.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, that's crazy. Huge. It's crazy. So we're very happy.
Congrats, man.
The staff, really, you know, it is the staff. I have to say, we've got an unbelievable team, not only kitchen, but in the office, customer relations. We're absolutely nailing it. Our customers know we care about them. If you go online, you read our reviews, you'll see the customer service and the food are the two top things that people talk about.
There's so much factors to a great business like yours, though. There's so much stuff going on. I love that. Like, just the slowly, and nail every single thing, hone your processes, and then, right, now we're ready to go.
Yeah.
So you're struck then.
Yeah.
So what are you looking, so as you're looking into next year, what's kind of exciting you? What are you kind of going?
We're looking to get into the UK. We were looking at that at the start of this year. We were looking at the US as well. We took a trip to the US. We've had a couple of conversations about that. But the UK is the, I suppose it's right on our doorstep. London has about 12 million people in it. You know what I mean? 3 times the population here. So we're looking at the UK 2020, which is really exciting. We could potentially distribute from Galway into the UK with the packaging, you know, therefore keep quality. Like, we know what the quality is like, but we just need to see how that goes. But that's one of our main goals for 2020 is launching the UK. We're putting a lot of energy into that now, just figuring out the best way possible. And hopefully you'll see us in England next year.
What kind of trends are you seeing kind of in the market now? Obviously, we talked about it a little bit earlier in terms of like fitness and health. It's just at the peak now.
Yeah, for sure.
What kind of exciting trends are you looking at going, that's kind of interesting?
Yeah, I think the fitness trend is massive and it's only getting bigger. Like, everyone is in the gym. Everyone's got a mindset of fitness, nutrition, healthy well-being. Like, podcasts are taking everyone by storms. You know, if you go on to like mindfulness and wellness, and it's all linked towards healthy eating too, which is really, really exciting. People are becoming more aware of what's good for you. That's why I'm saying we've such an advantage. You can go online, what do I need to eat if I have an iron deficiency or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah, my mom is Googling things now, what she should be eating. It's class. Yeah,
people have so much information, so it's excellent that they're actually aware of like, shit, this is what I need. And I do need healthy food and I do need this. So I think the fitness thing is a massive thing for us. But like, our main market would be the busy professionals. Like, that's where we're the most effective. Mm-hmm. People are like time conscious and they don't know how to cook because they're working 24/7 and they want healthy food because they like to look after themselves too. So like, London is, that's our market right there. That's why Dublin is our main market right now, because that's where everyone is. So that's our main market. And I think that's what we're going to focus on, because what we offer is, it's healthy food, but it is convenience. It's all about convenience. It's the time you save. What you can do with that time.
You sent me up the meals last week and I was moving house. My God, you've saved so many domestics at home. I was just like, it's okay.
Don't worry, we got it.
I sound like an ad, but it was just literally, because we're letting everything, you're only moving house, let everything run down. So you literally open the fridge and there's like a light.
Half a banana.
So it was amazing. So what's for the rest of the year? I asked you about next year. You kind of guys running, you plan on doing it?
Yeah, we're doing actually a competition. It's an 8-week transformation challenge with ourselves.
Okay.
It's launching on the 14th of this month, but we'll have late entries up until the 21st.
Okay.
So basically what it is, it's one of our goal packages. It's a 6-day full nutrition plan that'll give you breakfast, lunch, snack and a dinner for 6 days and 7 days.
Okay.
And it's just transformation pictures, or it's just transformation challenge, excuse me, that we're running. So it's discounted by 20% each week for the 8 weeks.
Okay.
And it's just for that run up to Christmas.
Mm.
You know, so people
get on now,
feel good about themselves, look great, get into Christmas, enjoy the Christmas, then get back on the road then on January again.
It's a great idea, because sometimes people are like, it's near Christmas now, let it go. Exactly. And then they get January and they're like, oh my gosh.
We've got fantastic prizes as well. We're giving away loads of cash prizes. We're giving about $5,000 away in total in the prizes. So it's between cash, gym memberships in your local area, free meals from us for 3 months, personal training programs.
Nice.
So there's good incentives there to get on board.
Where can people hear a bit more about that?
Cleancutmeals.ie. So our website, you'll see there's a landing page there. It's the 8-week challenge. There's a video on that. There's a good description of what it entails. If anyone has any questions, by all means, pop us an email, support@cleancutmeals.ie. Okay. You'll catch us. We're very responsive. And if not, Facebook and Instagram, we're there 24/7.
Definitely. You've kind of preempted one of my second last questions. So the last question you can think about for a minute is to recommend a book that's kind of made an impact on yourself, over like personally or professionally. And then first question is, where can people hear more about yourself and Clean Cut Meals?
Social media, myself on Clean Cut Meals on Instagram and Facebook. My personal Instagram, you don't want to follow me. I'm no fun
that is
all.
The first thing before we finish.
No fun at all. So it's Clean Cut Meals Facebook and Instagram. Brilliant. Very responsive. Pop us a message anytime, we'll get back to you. We're literally on there all the time, so if you have any queries or questions, don't be scared to pop us a message about anything.
Deadly. And then, is there a book that's every week?
Loads of books. Like, there's different books. Obviously, when you're in different mindsets for different things, you listen to different books. But like, for
the right
us,
book at the right time.
Yeah, for us, for a business, I think it was probably Thank You Economy from Gary Vee.
Okay.
Yeah, that really transformed how we operated as a business in the company. Like, how we approach customers and how we say thanks for the custom, and how it's built rapport with our customers, how we've been able to retain customers by just doing little things that you'd think nothing of, but people really appreciate. Like small little details, like just a birthday card on your birthday in your box.
That's nice.
Happy birthday. You know, people
That's
love it.
Really nice.
Small little things that we've instilled in the business just from that book. So I listened to that a couple of times.
Okay, so thank you, Economy.
Thank you, Economy Gary Vee.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Perfect.
Michal.
Thanks, Jerry. Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, man.
And that's a wrap on another episode of the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast. Hope you enjoyed that chat. As always, if you did enjoy it or if you got something out of it, please do share it on social media or even just pop me a message, as it is great to get any feedback. If you do have any suggestions for new guests I should have on the podcast, I'm always looking for new ideas, especially entrepreneurs who are based outside Dublin. Do get in touch and get me on any of my social media channels, Mr. Gary Fox. If you want to win a copy of The Thank You Economy by Gary Vaynerchuk that Michal suggested, simply share this episode on social media, tag me, Mr. Gary Fox, and Clean Cut Meals at Clean Cut Meals, and you'll be in a chance of winning the copy of that book. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next week, Thursday at 6 a.m. Talk to you then.